Every week here on Saturday Breakfast, we catch up with men and women who work in the newsrooms around Perth. And today we're going to talk to the editor of OpenYourEyesNews.com, James Fairbairn. Hello, James.
Morning, Sinead.
Tell us about OpenYourEyesNews.com in the first place.
Yes, it's all the news that slips through the crack of the sofa that other news places may miss. So we source news from 150 news sources worldwide, in America, Europe, even Africa, Asia, and then basically compile almost like a greatest hits of what's happening in the news.
I heard you say that James Lush sometimes calls it the conspiracy theory news.
Yeah, I mean, we only use mainstream sources, but it's all the stuff that's maybe not sexed up enough for mainstream newspapers to print. A little bit maybe downbeat, some people would say, but it's important stuff which affects each one of us.
Well, let's crack on with the non-sexy news of the week, James. Tell us, what's number one?
Okay, well, let's talk about something very non-sexy, which is the weather. Number of items this week that we've spotted at Open Your Eyes News. First of all, the Times of London was reporting that the White House is to stop using the phrase global warming, and instead it's going to use the phrase global climate disruption.
And that just sounds daft to start with.
According to their own words, it'll make the situation sound more dangerous. But there's a bit of a fly in the ointment for the White House there, and that is the journal Science Now reported this week that scientists studying sunspots, and they've been doing this over the last couple of decades, but obviously sunspot activity has been monitored for a few hundred years now, have concluded that the magnetic field that triggers their formation has been steadily declining. Now, people may go, well, so what? Well, the sun is obviously the source of all our heat and light, and sunspots indicate the amount of activity in the sun. And what it's saying is that the sun is about to go into what is potentially going to be a very long, quiet period that could last decades.
And now, what will that mean?
Well, the significance of that is the last time this happened coincided with a period of prolonged cooling in the Earth in the 17th and 18th century. When this happened between 1645 and 1715 last time, which is known as the Maunder Minimum, global temperatures dropped significantly in Europe, UK, in Germany, dropped by about 2 degrees centigrade over that time. What you'll notice here in places like Australia is that we're going to get a cooler, slightly cooler but wetter climate, which again would be quite good for us. And there'll be places which will benefit from cooler temperatures, places which won't necessarily benefit. But we're talking about a drop in temperatures which eradicates all global warming over the last 150 years and then some. So it's a significant drop. And when you look at the impact that has on agriculture, a 0.7 degree centigrade drop in global temperatures brings the amount of usable arable land southwards by 100 kilometres in the Northern Hemisphere.
What else have you got there, James?
Well, just very quickly, just on that subject, I mean, there's obviously the issue over the food, but there's also issue over the global climate change industry, which the Australian this week valued at $528 billion in value. And Wall Street Post was also talking about carbon trading this week, and they said that if the global industry for carbon trading takes off, that's worth $3 trillion a year. So a period of global cooling could really impact on those industries quite significantly.
I mean, there's been the conversation with the Prime Minister this week that they need to, you know, that she needs to be looking at a carbon tax sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
That coming from the mining industry itself. Yeah. So it's a whole thing that just continues on.
But that's funny actually, because the commentators in Europe and America have made a lot of interesting observations about that particular comment by the BHP chief. And what they've been saying is that is clearly the payback deal for ousting Kevin Rudd and getting rid of the mining tax, or the mining tax which was unfavourable to BHP. And this was the payback they had to do in return.
Ah, the conspiracies continue.
Indeed.
Now tell us, I believe yourself and James, you've been talking about Pakistan a bit, and there's a bit more there.
We have. We've been talking about the largely unreported war that's going on in northern Pakistan at the moment on pretty much a bi-daily basis. The Americans are bombing northern Pakistan. It's not getting reported that much, but it's happening. AFP, the news agency, this week reported that since August 2008, 1,100 people have died in US bombing raids in northern Pakistan. That's 130 drone strikes overall. And many of those have been civilians. And it's something James and I have talked about in the past, that obviously there are, you know, quite unforeseen knock-on effects this could have in terms of long-term effects in northern Pakistan and how people feel about America and its allies around the world.
So why do you think that situation in North Pakistan doesn't make mainstream media?
Well, it's a bit of out of sight, out of mind. You know, it's not no troops on the ground. This has all been done by remote-controlled drones being piloted by somebody in Southern California, a bit like an arcade game. And there's no media on the ground to monitor it either. But it's happening a lot. And, you know, 1,100 people is a lot of people who have died as a result.
In the UK, there's been a lot of, there's another conspiracy theory going on there.
Not really a conspiracy theory at all. It's actually the British Deputy Prime Minister this week has come out and said that tax cheats are to face lie detector tests in a clampdown on tax cheats. So any Paul Hogans out there, you really do not want to be living in the UK at the moment. What they're doing is basically outsourcing the debt collection to private debt collection agencies from the tax office. They'll give you a call and they've got special software. So they'll be listening to the phone conversation. And if your voice sounds a little bit, you know, croaky or a bit hesitant, alarm bells will start ringing saying, this is a tax dodger, send the boys in.
So, but what about the civil liberties aspect of that? Where does that
lie? Yeah, particularly as you've got a private company collecting the debt, it's rather interesting. But the tax office estimates they reckon they'll increase the number of prosecutions fivefold as a result and bring an extra £7 billion a year in tax revenue. So I don't think they're that bothered, really.
That whole thing of tax dodging has affected all elements of the UK system.
And in the UK, it's slightly different. When you do your tax return in the UK, you normally end up with a bill from the tax man. In this country, you do your tax return, they send you a check.
You're hoping for a check anyway. Well, James, thanks very much for coming in today. It's always a pleasure on Saturday Breakfast to hear news way outside of what we normally see in our, well, our local rag for sure.
Thank you very much.